Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet Broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler and Eric McElroy.
What's up, Big Z Sports? WTUZ, Big Z Sports on Facebook. Joe Geckler, Adam Selesky filling in for Chris Kale today. Eric McElroy down in front of the camera. You are listening to our Big Z Sports podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports, 330-365-9022. Check them out online as well, aesracing.com. Week 10 and rivalry week is done in Tuscarawas County. Fellas, some blowouts over week 10, but there were also some good games. We're going to recap week 10 for you, talk about Wednesday coming up on our Extra Point show, obviously the high school football preview as well coming up for this weekend, the NFL in week 8. The Cavs make a coaching change, and the baseball season is officially over now after the World Series was completed last night. We'll talk more about all that coming up here, but first, week 10 of the high school football season started off with our Sarshon Ford play-by-play game of the week last week, and that was we'll start on Thursday. Indian Valley beat Claymont 52-6. Indian Valley's defense forced 6 turnovers, 4 interceptions, and 4 fumbles. Eric, you and I were there on the call. Just a dominating effort by the defense.
Yeah, and of course their defense, a group effort, and collaboratively they were the players of the game, if you will, for their impressive effort. Yeah, it could have went to guys like Caden Hostetler or Cade Williams or something, but the defense played outstanding on Thursday.
They did, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the offense, I think they scored on their first 5 of 8 possessions, something like that on the offensive side. A pick 6 was in there as well. So a big win for Indian Valley. We'll get to their playoff stuff here in just a little bit. The next night on Friday night, again, Sarshon Ford of Waynesburg, game of the week. The Dover Tornadoes shut out New Philadelphia 35-0. Alex Sayre and Kyler Folkert was co-players of the game, and Chris gave a hats off to Kyler Folkert that night. He had a big game with 3 touchdowns, Eric.
7th consecutive year that the visiting team has won in this series. Adam, Dover ran early and ran often in this game, and New Philadelphia really had a tough time stopping the running game of Dover.
Yeah, as Coach Dennison alluded to in the post-game, the Quakers just didn't execute, and Dover was the better team. And I think it was easy for all of us to see that I think that game was won, up front on both sides of the ball for the Tornadoes. And Folkert was able to, a lot of his big runs came right through the tackles, which, a lot of times when you have a running back that's getting big chunks of yards, normally it's to the outside, but they were able to run it right through the tackles.
Yeah, the offensive line for Dover did a great job up the middle. The defensive line for Dover did a great job right up the middle. And it seems like that's where the pressure came all night long, between the Dover defense getting to Baron May and forcing him out of the pocket, getting to him and sacking him. But the Dover all around, their defensive game plan, I think, was the key to the game. Philly just couldn't do much on offense.
Yeah, listen, Baron May, I think from the start, was pressing a little bit in the football game. And then as the scores mounted and things got a little worse for New Philadelphia, he started to press a little bit more, I think. And then that's when the mistakes came and the flags and everything else. Dover ran for 243 yards. Sayre had 120 of them. Folkert had 84 yards. Of course, Sayre, the 2 rushing touchdowns. Folkert, the 3 rushing touchdowns. No passing touchdowns for Alex Sayre. He did have 170 passing yards in that game. 171.
So big game for the Dover Tornadoes in the 115th meeting of that game, of that series. Again, Dover wins 35-0, punches their ticket to host a home game. We'll get into the playoff schedule coming up here in just a little bit. Next game had IVC North Championship implications on it. Sandy Valley knocked off Malvern 41-6. Sandy Valley finishes season 9-0, 5-0 in the IVC North. Cam Blair with 3 touchdown passes in the game. He was Tim Plant's hats off on Friday night.
Yeah, Cameron Blair, like you mentioned, Joe, 5 touchdown passes, 313 passing yards. Mason Tucci had a big 35-yarder from Cameron Blair. Demetrius Evans had a 75-yarder. And is this dude back, Dante Tucci?
It's his brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, who's the one that was out?
Dante Tucci.
It says here Dante Tucci scored a touchdown Friday, so I don't know if he's back yet or not.
I'm not sure that he did. Let me look in the stats.
So there you go. Of course, Blair, one of the candidates for the Big Z Sports Player of the Year Award. The Cardinals scored those 41 answered points after falling behind 6-0. And Adam, one of the doesn't matter, IVC North or South, still one of the stronger teams in all of the IVC, really.
And absolutely, and you can see that when, you know, as Joe alluded to, we're going to be talking about it here shortly about the playoff pairings, and I think that there is three or four IVC schools that made the playoffs. And it was a battle, you know, all year long, which, you know, with Garraway and Indian Valley and Ridgewood and Sandy Valley. I mean, they all had great seasons.
Yeah, five total teams from the IVC made it. We had you start with East Canton. They're in the IVC, of course. TCC made it as well in Division 7. Sandy Valley, Ridgewood, and Indian Valley all made it from the IVC. So a nice season for the IVC. But Sandy Valley, Mason Tucci was the one that scored that touchdown on Friday night, not Dante. But Mason is Dante's little brother. And, again, Sandy Valley with a big win. IVC North champions outright 5-0 on the season in the IVC. Cam Blair made his case again for Big Z Sports Player of the Year for 2018. And we'll have all those awards come out probably closer to the middle to end of November. Next game, we're going to talk about the TCC Saints. They knock off Strasburg and go to Ron Hurst Field and win 32-22. Alex Price was a Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week for week number 10. He had two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown to propel the Saints into the playoffs with a big win over Strasburg. They finish the season, well, they improve on the season 5-5, and they're 3-2 in the IVC, and now they will get a tough challenge in Division 7. We'll talk about their playoff, but what a game for TCC. They had to do what they had to do to win to get in. Obviously, if they would have lost, they would not made it, but Alex Price, big game for him and the Saints.
Two touchdowns, 231 passing yards, and then Ryan Dick added 101 rushing yards and a score off of 19 carries. He also caught 7 passes for 49 yards and a touchdown. Great all-around game for Ryan Dick.
You know, one thing that really stands out to me, I talked to somebody over the weekend, is Coach Cummings and what he's done at TCC. To have 16 kids dressed for a game night and to be able to elevate that team into the playoffs with 16 kids.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
What Casey Cummings did over there this year, obviously coming in, wasn't sure how many kids he was going to have when he took back the job late in the process. I believe it was about a month to go before the season even started. And Casey Cummings took over the head coaching job and, took this team to the playoffs. And that deserves a lot of credit to him. He's pulled this team together all season. They've taken some lumps over the season, but they've learned from them. They stayed relatively healthy all season. But, having Alex Price back there at quarterback, and, can you imagine Alex Price on a team that has, maybe a bigger offensive line in front of him? It gives him a little more time, and but he does great things with what he has to work with. And Alex Price did a great job on Friday night. Coach Cummings has done a great job all season long getting this team ready and getting them into the playoffs, which is quite remarkable, kind of where they were at one point. I believe they won their last two or three in a row to get back to 5-5. So nice season for TCC. It continues this Saturday night. We'll get into that in a little bit. Carrollton shut out Minerva 41-0. They finished the season at 5-5. Again, another team that won their last two to get back to 500. So nice win there for Phil Morrow and the Warriors as, they really put it to Minerva. Minerva's streak now 3 full years of not winning a game. So Carrollton gets.
Who's their head coach? Hugh Jackson?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Quarterback.
No, Hugh wins 3 in 3 years. What are you talking about?
Quarterback Teagan Moan and running back Ryan Walker. They each scored 2 touchdowns and more than 100 rushing yards as Carrollton, like you said, Joe, rolled on. It was nice to see them end the season strong for the Carrollton Warriors. Teagan Moan had a 49-yard touchdown run and a 41-yard touchdown run in that big shutout win for Carrollton.
Absolutely. Next game, we're going to talk about probably the shocker of Friday night. I think all of us were stunned here in the studio when we got back and learned of this final score. The Tuskegee Valley Trojans, they knock off Garraway 13 14-9. Luke Heron with a 99-yard fumble return for a touchdown that was the difference in the ball game. And I haven't heard exactly the specifics of what happened in this game. I know it was a rainy, cold night up at Tuskegee Valley, but you know what? Tuskegee Valley, again, not many people gave them a chance. Their last three games of the season was Indian Valley, Ridgewood, Garaway, and nobody gave them much of a chance to get back to 500. But you know what? They played hard, and they came out and got a huge win over Garaway, which knocked them out of the playoffs in Division 6. But Luke Heron, again, that was Jim's hats off last week for a 99-yard fumble return for a touchdown. And that was where the controversy started. I don't know the whole details of it, so I'm not really going to talk about it. But Garaway, they missed a golden opportunity. They let some things happen, and, they just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, there was, I guess, some clock issues down the stretch, which I think Garaway did score, and then they said, no, we're going to rerun that play. And then
the fumble was the next play.
And the ensuing play was the fumble taken back 90-plus yards, which was the difference in the game. That was the only touchdown Tuskegee Valley scored. They had a couple field goals.
Yeah.
Other than that, Garaway with the safety early on, and then the Dawson Lay touchdown. Garaway just laid an egg, went to Zorville, and I don't know if they overlooked that team or what. And then once the game got tight down the stretch, Garaway played a little tighter, and Tuskegee Valley just took it right from them.
I'm sure Coach Wallach, the way Coach Wallach is, I'm sure that he's, one of the things that will probably jump out to him would be the fact that they only scored 9 points.
Sure.
There could be controversy, there could be this or that or the other, but I'm sure – if you would talk to Coach Wallach, I'm sure that he would say 9 points isn't enough to win many games.
Sure. Absolutely. And, it's tough to see because Garaway was probably going to be projected to finish seventh if they would have won, which probably would have got them Kirtland in the first round of the playoffs. Needless to say, they missed the playoffs by half a point. And there's three other regions in Division 6 in Ohio, and Garaway would have made the playoffs in all three of those other regions. So it just shows you how tough their region is in Division 6. But anyway, Garaway finished the season 8-2, 3-2 in the IVC, Tuskegee Valley 5-5, and 3-2 as well. The next game we're going to talk about, the Ridgewood Generals. They finished the season at 9-1, 4-1 in the IVC South with a 48-14 win over Newcomerstown, which with the Garaway loss makes the Ridgewood Generals the IVC South outright champions. When we had a 3-4-way tie there for a couple of weeks during the season, Ridgewood comes out on top after they knocked off Indian Valley earlier in the season. They get the tiebreaker, and they are the IVC South champs.
Gabe Tingle had 170 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Isaiah Lamnick, a big 75-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Chase Bryant, the only scorer late there for newcomers. Well, they scored both of them. He actually had an 8-yard fumble return for a touchdown, did Chase Bryant. So the only scorers for Newcomerstown came off of Bryant's hands, offensively and defensively.
Yeah, Newcomerstown was a tough year, 0-10, but we did see improvement for them throughout the year. The season started a little rough for them. They got better and better each week, but once you get into the heart of that IVC schedule, it's so tough for a Newcomerstown to compete with the Indian Valleys and the Ridgewoods and the Garaways and all the teams that are having good years. Newcomerstown's getting better. Don't lose hope in those guys will be back. They'll be back. They're ready to play football next year as well. Again, they finish 0-10 and 0-5 in the IVC. The next game we're going to talk about, the West Holmes Knights. They knock off Mount Vernon 23-0, and that clinched a playoff berth for them as well. West Holmes now 8-2 on the season, 4-2 in the OCC.
They were only up 3-0 at halftime. It was kind of a hairy situation. Then they were able to put it together there in the second half. Bridger Klein had a couple touchdown tosses, one touchdown run, two for West Holmes. Kind of a clean game by both sides. Nobody turned the football over. Really, West Holmes kind of let the other team hang around for a little bit, but like I said, in the second half, and they were able to stretch their lead. And then, like you said, Joe, get that win and head into the playoffs. What a nice turnaround that Zach Gardner and the Knights have performed there in West Holmes.
Yeah, the 8 wins that they have this season is more than they've had the last 3 years combined. So what a great season.
Says all you need to know.
Yep, and he's really done great things out there. He is losing some talent this year. Bridger Klein, I know, is gone, but we will see what they have for next year. But they are in the playoffs, and again, we'll talk about those coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Next game that went into three overtimes, don't have much information about this, but Conotton Valley got their second win of the season, knocked off Weirton Madonna 15-12. Big win there for the Rockets. And, of course, the last game that we'll mention, Steubenville, they beat Hunton Valley 49-19. I think that was another home game. That might be a road game the way it's listed. But anyway, Steubenville, they're in the Division IV playoffs as well. So if we would talk real quick about Wednesday night's Big Z Sports Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, we will have our playoff edition of the show. Our goal is to talk to most of the area coaches that are in the playoffs this week in week number 11. So our goal is to do that. We will also welcome in the West Holmes Knights. Coach Gardner and his captains will be in the house to talk to us a little bit about the West Holmes Knights and their season and as they get ready for a big playoff push here coming up on Friday night for them. Again, the West Holmes Knights will be in the house on Wednesday. We will also talk to other coaches in the area that night in the playoff push here for Big Z Sports. And speaking of the playoffs, let's get into week number 11, guys. The pairings came out. They weren't official until yesterday afternoon, but most people knew probably late Saturday night what they were. But the Ohio High School Athletic Association made them official yesterday afternoon in Division II Region 7. The number 4 Dover Tornadoes will host number 5 Whitehall Yearling Rams. They are 9-1 on Friday night at Crater Stadium with kickoff at 7 o'clock. Other games, Division III Region 9, the number 7 West Holmes Knights. They will travel to number 2 Kinston Bombers. Kinston is located in Chagrin Falls Township, which is just southeast of Chagrin Falls, and kickoff on Friday night for that game is 7 o'clock as well. The rest of the games are on Saturday night with kickoff at 7 o'clock. Number 3, Indian Valley, they're 9-1. They will host number 6, John Glenn, who is 7-3. This is the second consecutive season the Braves have hosted a first-round playoff, and again, that kickoff is at 7. That game can be heard right here on 99.9 WTUZ and Big Z Sports. We will be out there to cover that game for you on Saturday night. The next game, the number 7 Sandy Valley Cardinals, they travel to number 2 Akron Manchester. They are 7-3. A common opponent for both of these teams, Indian Valley. Indian Valley beat both of these teams. So it'll be interesting to see what Sandy Valley can do against Akron Manchester on Saturday night. We'll see that. We'll have that game covered as well. Division 5, Ridgewood, they host Amanda Clear Creek. They're 8-2, and that game is in West Lafayette on Saturday night. Division 7, TCC, they will be at Cuyahoga Heights Redskins, who are 8-2, and that's all the way, I believe, on the lake, if I'm right. That's way up there, way north of here. So, and then also, East Canton made the playoffs as well. They are number 4 in Division 7, Region 25, and they host Ashtabula St. John, who is 7-3 on the season. We'll have you covered here on Friday night and Saturday night with all the playoff action on Big Z Sports and 99.9 WTUZ. If you go to our webpage, WTUZ.com, or even our Facebook page, you can see we put a little post up about the teams and the times, who made the playoffs in our area, and also other games in their region that pertains to our particular local team. So check it out, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook and our website, WTUZ.com. You can find that as well. Guys, let's go into the NFL week number 8. And it was it started out positive for the Browns on Sunday. They, they jumped out to an early lead and then kind of the Steelers took over a little bit. Adam, I know you watched all the game, and I'm sure Eric, you watched most of it, if not all of it. But, the Browns started off good. They looked good coming out of the gate, but then it looked like it was James Conner and Ben just kind of took over.
Yeah, the Steelers looked like they were still on their bye week for the first quarter. And then they came out in the second quarter, and I think the first score was an Antonio Brown touchdown.
On a broken play, he got behind the defense.
Yeah, so which made it 7-6, and they never really looked back after that.
Yeah, you look at it, it was 6-0, and then the Steelers scored 14 straight. And like you said, Antonio Brown with a big touchdown reception and actually had both touchdowns in the second quarter. And, I think they really started to spiral out of out of control in the third quarter when there was a penalty on the Browns for holding in the end zone, which results in a safety. And after that, it kind of really started spiraling. James Conner took over from there.
But I'm sure you saw this, Eric. After that safety, it was kind of a head scratcher for me. The Browns punted the free kick. The Steelers chose not to recover it. So, which then in turn gives the Browns the ball at the 20-yard line.
Well, the Browns could have picked it up and ran it back for a touchdown. They just fell on it. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, you got to pick that up. But, you know.
Looks like neither team knew the rule, to be honest with you. Yeah, which is just kind of funny. Yeah. I mean, NFL players not knowing rules. The Browns had a chance to go up 9-0 in that game. And then Joseph missed the kick, and then you guys went right down and scored and took the lead. And after that, that's really when the game ended, if you ask me. You can't kick field goals at Heinz Field. The Browns really had a chance. Adam, if you think about it, should have been up 21-0.
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it.
Absolutely.
Then with that field goal you missed before that, you get the turnover from Ben. And, I mean, it's just one of those things. You can't kick field goals in this league. You get up 14-0 and even 17-0 up on Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. Then that's something. 9-0. And even he missed it, so it was still 6-0. Really means nothing.
Yeah,
really.
I wasn't too worried when it was 6-0 because I knew one touchdown, we take the lead.
And even if he made it 9-0, I mean, chances of Browns winning the game were real slim. 25 consecutive road losses now for the Browns. I think one away from owning the record themselves, which the Lions were now tied with them. The 2008 to 2010 Lions lost 25 straight road games, so that's the category you don't want to be in. Right,
and it doesn't get much easier for the Browns. They've got the Chiefs this week, and then I believe they welcome in the Falcons. So it'll be, and then they go into a bye week. So we'll see what happens.
And that's when Hugh loses his job during that bye week.
We'll see what happens with the Browns coming up. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. Hopefully they can keep. Hopefully it's a nasty, ugly day on Sunday when the Chiefs come to town and kind of slow them down a little bit. Get cold.
So instead of scoring 40, they'll score 30 or something.
We'll cut it in half. 24. Give them a chance.
No. I mean, the problems with the Browns, it starts with the coaching staff. You now have Hugh Jackson and offense coordinator Todd Haley now back and forth. Last week, Hugh Jackson said he's going to get more hands-on with the offense. And somebody who went 3 and whatever it was, I don't want him controlling the offense anymore.
Well, in his defense, one thing I will say, Baker had no time. Pittsburgh was getting to him the entire day. So, and we all know, we just discussed this at the high school level, if you don't have protection, you're not going to score. You're not going to be able to do anything.
If you don't have protection at any level, you're not going to score.
You know, Jarvis Landry had like 8 catches for 39 yards. That's like 4 yards a catch. It's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. But that was the game plan because, we know our offensive line's horrible. Baker was going to have no time. He doesn't have time to take 5 or 7-step drops. It's quick 3-step drops, and the ball is out. And if Steelers said, if you can dink and dunk and beat us down the field, then go for it. But then, we couldn't do it.
You know, there was 2 games on yesterday. Obviously, the Browns were on, and on Fox, the Bengals were on. So I actually got to flip back and forth, and it seems like I was watching the Bengals a little more, I'll be honest. But, you know, when I would flip back to the Browns, I'm like, wow, they're playing good. And I'd flip back, and okay, Steelers scored. But every time I watched a Browns offensive possession, it was screenplay, handoff, little swing pass. You know, they weren't going down the field like I'm used to seeing. And I'm like, man, where's that downfield passing? You have Callaway, who's a burner. You have Jarvis Landry can get downfield. But the one long ball that I see, Baker Mayfield throw, Joe Hayden made a great play and picked that ball off. That was just a great play by Hayden to just high point that ball and catch it and take it away. But I don't remember who the receiver was for the Browns that he was throwing to. But, I mean, you got to get up and go after that ball. And he gave really not much effort to go after that ball. But Hayden did a great job with that interception. And the Browns, again, fell. But, guys, I've always said it, and I will continue to say it, bad teams don't win on the NFL, win on the road in the NFL. And for the Browns' sake, that's 25 straight games now on the road that they have not won a game. So my point is coming true, so to speak. But we'll move on to the Bengals, who about blew
it. Hugh Jackson's been around for 20-plus of them. So there's my point.
Probably all of them. But we'll move on to the Bengals, who held on to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a field goal at the horn, 37-34, guys. The Bengals got out to a huge lead. Andy Dalton with a big game for the Cincinnati Bengals, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nice game for him. Joe Mixon really carried the offense, though. 21 carries, 123 yards, and 2 more touchdowns. But, man, when you lose Tyler Eifert in the Red zone a couple weeks ago like they did the Bengals, and Tyler Boyd steps up and has a huge day, and he's had a huge season so far. 9 catches, 138 yards, and a touchdown yesterday. He's really picked up the slack.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Joe. Whenever I was watching the Browns Steelers, and I did, I was flipping back sure. and forth, and that game, you know,
you have fantasy interest in the Bengals, though. You don't have
absolutely. I'll tell you what, that game, you know, the Bengals jumped out, and I'm like, man, that's gonna get ugly quick. And then the score kept getting closer and closer, so I found myself watching more of that game than the Browns Steelers game. The Bucs, even with Jameis, you know, getting benched again, and Fitzmagic was doing his thing to bring the Buccaneers right back into the game, but just not quite enough.
Yeah, not enough. They were up at one point 34-16, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came back to tie it again. Randy Bullock hit a 44-yarder to win it for the Cincinnati Bengals, who improved to 5-3 on the season. I think they're still in second place, though, behind the Steelers. And next week for the Bengals, they have the Bengals are off next week, so they're at their bye week. And it'll be interesting in the NFL. Did you guys watch any of the Sunday night game with the Saints and the Vikings? I thought it was a pretty good game, back and forth all night long, and it was fun to watch. The Saints are a fun team to watch.
Yeah, Saints, one of the best teams in the NFL. It's the Rams and then the Saints there in the NFC. 30-20 was the final. Speaking of the Rams, they just snuck by the Packers. Aaron Rodgers still waiting for that chance, but he never got it with his kick returner fumbling the ensuing kickoff after the Rams took the lead. And if Todd Gurley goes into the end zone there at the end, I don't need Shady McCoy to go off tonight, Adam. I only need a few points.
That was a class act, and I appreciate
whatever. and then Baltimore lost to Carolina 36-21. Denver close with Kansas City, but the Chiefs remain hot, 30-23, the final. And Shady McCoy will be the MVP of tonight's game, as the Bills will upset the Pats. I don't know if that will happen, but Shady will be the game's MVP.
I just don't need Hogan to score more than 6 points. I'm okay with he gets 5, but not 6.
No, dude. All PGR other, league.
I know. All those other receivers, though, I'm hoping Hogan forgets his cleats or something and forgets to show up like last week.
Helmet or something.
Well, like last week in our fantasy league, I was playing our program director, and she had her lineup set. Everything was good. Well, the guy that she had playing on Monday night was a late scratch, so I won. So he was inactive, and I'm like, oh, sweet, that'll work out well for me. So I'm hoping that kind of help that happens tonight, but I'm not sure that it will.
Good luck.
Obviously, big news over the weekend as well. I think it broke on, was that Saturday night? The Cavaliers fired head coach.
Yesterday morning.
Yeah, yesterday morning. Cavaliers fire head coach Tyronn Lue. Eric, your thoughts on that? Are you surprised that they pulled the trigger this quick, or not really?
Yeah, I mean, this quick, 0-6. They haven't had a lead in the second half in any game they've played in so far this year. I don't think it's surprising that he got fired. Yeah, the thing that's surprising is that it did come this early, to be honest with you. Obviously went to 3 straight finals with the team. Obviously the Cavs went to 4 straight, but David Blatt was the head coach for that 2015 season. Then Tyronn Lue took over the very next season midway through. Won the title with the Cavs, obviously, I mean, with LeBron. I mean, come on. But only coach in modern Cleveland history to win a title, and just feel like he kind of got a raw deal out of all that. Give him a little bit longer in the season, but that's the first LeBron casualty. Next will be some of the veteran players on the roster, which will be next to go, and then you'll see guys like Ante Zizic and Chetty and Colin Sexton getting all the playing time in a youth movement.
Here's the thing. I love watching LeBron play, but I think everybody can agree that when LeBron's in town, Ty Lue is the assistant coach. I think LeBron's the head coach. I mean, it's just, I mean, like I said, LeBron's a great player. I've never, you know, I still like watching him, even though it isn't a Lakers uniform. He's a great player. He's fun to watch. But I think the organization realized, hey, we might have to get somebody that's more, you know, that fits more with what we have, where Ty Lue was just used to having LeBron probably running everything by LeBron. Hey, what do you think?
I don't necessarily think that was the case. I don't think it's not like LeBron was there calling plays and drawing things up on the chalkboard and the dry erase board and saying, let's do this. But when you are the head coach of a LeBron James-led team, he obviously hamstrings everything you want to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. The offense the Cavs were running, that's not Ty Lue's offense the past 2 years, that ISO LeBron at the top and they either drive or dish it out. It's just the way LeBron plays. So I get what you're saying. LeBron was the de facto head coach kind of on the floor, but I mean, it's not like he was directing everybody what to do. And just like Spoelstra in Miami, I mean, he wasn't a LeBron casualty. He's a decent head coach.
Yeah.
Is Ty Lue a decent head coach? I don't know. I think the book's still out on that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I saw an interesting tweet from LeBron himself on Sunday afternoon and said, hey, you know, said something to Ty Lue like, hey, keep your head up, keep working, blah, blah, blah. You know how to get a hold of me. So I would imagine you might see Ty Lue in Los Angeles here within the next couple of years, I would imagine, as an assistant or something like that. But Ty Lue, if you remember, played for the Lakers back in the day with, I think, Kobe and Shaq. So anyway, Ty Lue, which direction they go? I know Larry Drew.
Yeah, he's the interim guy, and so he probably will be for the rest of the year. Not too many teams hire a new head coach, and you know what I mean, at the –
But what kind of name?
Especially in October.
What kind of name would you want to go after at the end of the year?
It's too early. I mean,
would you want to just bring in a whole new staff?
It's basketball. Yeah. Who really knows at this point?
The Cavs playing for
Rick Pitino.
Hey, that's been sad thing is that's funny because he's throwing his name back into the NBA.
Tom Izzo. Yeah. There you go. There Dan go. Gilbert throw a bunch of money at.
Yeah, there
what
you
about
go. Izzo?
What about Calipari?
I'd rather have Izzy.
Okay. But last night, guys, the baseball season came to an end as the Dodgers fell to the Red Sox 5-1 in Game 5, and that clinched the series for the Boston Red Sox. They win it 4-1. Guys, did you expect anything else? Boston's been the best team all year.
Fifth title in 14 years. They can no longer say they're cursed, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that curse has been over for
a while.
I mean,
it's been long gone. I mean, the best team in baseball. Who was it? Steve Pierce, the MVP. He's like a journeyman, too, right?
He
was like 30-something years old.
Yep.
He just got hot at the right time. And Boston, I mean, listen, it was easy to kind of pick who was going to go to the World Series out of the American League. I thought the Dodgers may give a little more effort. Now, listen, last night's game, I saw the Dodgers right at the beginning of the game. And I saw their lineup, and I go, man, their lineup's not even that good. Yeah. You know, they have David Freenow did a home run last night, but it's not that good.
Yeah, the Dodgers, their pitching staff, but Clayton Kershaw, man, it never seems to show up in these big World Series games when they need him the most.
Sort of like a Corey Kluber, too, huh?
Yep.
Doesn't show up when you need him.
You know, these stud pitchers in baseball, they have great seasons, and sometimes they just struggle when they get into the playoffs. And, I mean, Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner is usually pretty good in the playoffs, but Kershaw's always struggled.
Kershaw and Bumgarner this year, actually, as a whole, neither one of them pitched real well. And I know Kershaw, didn't he get – he got hurt.
They both were hurt. Bumgarner started a season on the DL with a broken hand. And
yeah, it's like neither one of them really came back. I mean, you just wonder, those hard throwers, you know, the life of the arm, you know, it might be wearing on them.
Sure, absolutely. And since we've podcasted the last time, the Reds hired their new head coach, or new manager, I should say, and David Bell. So we'll see what happens with the Reds. They give him a 3-year deal. David Bell has a long lineage in the Reds organization. His grandfather, Gus Bell, played for the Reds, and his dad, Buddy Bell, also played for the Indians, played for the Reds as well. So David Bell, a Moeller kid, a Cincinnati kid, coming back home to manage his hometown team.
Who is on top in terms of favorites to win the 2019 World Series?
I would say Houston and Boston.
Yeah, you're right. After that, you have the Dodgers, the Yankees. Those are both 7-1 odds. And the Cubs and the Indians, 10-1 odds next year.
Now, since we're in the offseason, I'll ask you real quick. I know it's the first day of the offseason, though, Eric. What do the Indians need to improve in the offseason? What should be their focus going right now until spring training starts here in March?
Bullpen, because you know that who knows what Andrew Miller is doing. Cody Allen's gone. And you need some outfield help, too. You can't roll out Michael Brantley, Rajay Davis, Brandon Guyer, whoever the hell else they had. I don't remember who. I mean, I know what's his name. Zimmer was hurt all year. I kind of like him as a young player. But yeah, they need some outfield help, which means another big bat.
Do you try to re-sign Josh Donaldson or just let him go?
I don't think you can afford him, to be honest. Wasn't he a former MVP and everything?
Yeah,
he's gonna ask for a lot of money. You can't afford him. You can't pay him and Eddie.
I look for them to shop Miller. I think they're going to shop him around. They're I mean, because I bet if you look back through the season, how many times the Indians were holding a decent sized lead after the fifth or sixth inning and then end up taking a loss. Sure. It's got to be the bullpen. Yeah. It's like Eric said, that's got to be the key, and then go from there.
Absolutely. But Indians have some work to do in the offseason. The Reds have more than a lot to work to do to get back to a reputable team in baseball. We won't even talk about the Pirates because they're not worth our time. So we'll talk about them
you
next time.
You want to know what their odds are to win the World Series?
The Pirates or the Reds?
Well, Reds are 100-1.
Pirates are probably 75-1.
I don't know. I closed it out, but who cares?
Yeah, who cares, really? But anyway, that's going to wrap up our Big Z Sports podcast for this week. Again, don't forget Wednesday night we have our Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. The West Holmes Knights will be in the house to talk a little Knights football with us for the first time this season. Also, we'll have our playoff edition of the Extra Point. We'll talk to some other area coaches during the Extra Point as well. For Eric McElroy, Adam Soweski, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for watching this week's edition of the Big Z Sports podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Again, give them a call, 365-9022. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Extra Point. Big Z Sports, Joe Geckler, Adam Soweski, Eric McElroy back on the podcast section of Big Z Sports, WTUZ, Big Z Sports, and on Facebook and Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. Guys, we thought this was the end of the podcast, but as we were getting off the air, I checked my phone. Breaking news from Adam Schefter of ESPN. It looks like, per a source that he has, the Browns have fired head coach Hugh Jackson. We don't have any details yet, but the news came down as we were getting off of our podcast. That's why we joined back on Facebook Live. But the Browns, per Adam Schefter, have fired head coach Hugh Jackson. Eric, your thoughts?
After a 1-15 season, then 0-16, then 2-5-1 this year, that equals up to 3-36-1 with my public school math. I mean, the writing was on the wall. And I think the thing with this year, yeah, is there more talent on the team, obviously. But the thing I'm looking at is I think some of the talent's regressing. I think Baker Mayfield has gotten worse the past couple of weeks. And you just can't continue to – I mean, listen, you brought in 31 different new players. You brought in a new GM, new coaching staff, offensive coordinator, this, but you didn't change one thing, and that was the head coach. So I don't know if ever in sports history, if one city has fired one coach from a major sport and then the very next day fired another coach from the major sport. But Cleveland probably just made history with Lou and Hugh now gone. Tito, please don't go anywhere. I think, yeah, the writing was on the wall. Listen, I don't ever want anybody to lose their job, but when you aren't performing your job, and your job as a head coach is to have your team ready to play and to develop talent. And those are the and win games. And Hugh Jackson has not done any of those things.
I was always on the fence. You know, we've obviously had this discussion a few times whether Hugh Jackson should be, you know, should he stay or should be fired. Now that it's happened, it kind of changed my thought process. Sure. With all that young talent, with the progression that they are slowly making, this will probably be a little bit more appealing than it ever has been for a head coach to come
well,
in.
Well, I think I agree with that, but I think the Browns, and in my opinion, we'll get into the speculation and start to throw names out there. Obviously, it's going to be an interim basis this year. Whoever takes over, that has not been announced who will be the head coach the rest of the season.
Probably going to be Todd Haley.
I would imagine
he's had head
like
coaching
that.
Experience
but
before.
There's a couple names out there that I would find very intriguing. And I think the Browns need to go away from the retread head coach that's been in the NFL before. They need to bring in a fresh name, kind of like the Rams did with Sean McVay, a very young guy to put some energy in this team. No offense to these coaches that have been around the league for so long. They just don't have that energy level as he's like a Sean McVay does. Or, when Sean Payton came into the league, he was all energetic and rah, rah, rah. And I think that's what the Browns need right now. And one name I'm going to throw out there right now, and people might think I'm crazy. He never had head coaching experience in the NFL. He's a head coach in college football right now. But I think Lincoln Riley could be a good fit with the Browns. Obviously, he knows Baker Mayfield very, very well. He's with him his whole career at Oklahoma. He knows how to get teams up for big games. Just ask the Buckeyes. You know, Lincoln Riley came to Columbus and knocked off the Buckeyes last year. But, you know, that's one name I think that will be thrown out there, Lincoln Riley, if he's ready to leave for the next challenge and go to the NFL. You never know. But I would suggest the Browns go away from any other NFL assistant coach or anything else. Bring in new blood. Bring in that fresh energy and try to get something new going in Cleveland, because obviously what they continue to do is not working.
Guaranteed, John Dorsey, Browns GM, has a list. He has a short list of who he wants, and we'll find out who's on that list at the end of the year, because, you know, interviews aren't going to be conducted now. It's October. You're still in the midst of the college football season. The coach is preparing for bowl games, so this will be a topic of discussion for the next few months. But most likely, Todd Haley taking over, coached the Kansas City Chiefs, was the head coach for them for many years. We'll see where we go from here.
Is there any other college coach out there, guys, that it kind of intrigues you at all? I mean, Nick Saban's not going anywhere at Alabama. Don't even throw that name out there. Plus, he's like in his upper 60s, so you don't want a guy like that to come in. But would a Dabo Sweeney do anything for you? Would any of those high-profile college coaches? I don't think Urban would leave Columbus to come to Cleveland.
My mind's going blank, but Penn State's coach.
James Franklin.
Okay. I mean, he was – no, correct me if I'm wrong. Was he not – he was at Houston already.
No, he was at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm getting all twisted around. But he, somebody like that with some energy, because, you know, when you mentioned the youth, a newer style coach, that is, I think it's Matt Nagy with the Bears.
Okay.
I mean, he's made the Bears fun to watch. I mean, I know he's got, you know, they have Trubisky as their young quarterback, but some of the stuff that he does is just off the wall. I mean, it makes them fun to watch, and I think that's what Cleveland needs.
If you're asking what hot young coordinators are out there offensively or defensively that may deserve a head coaching job, I mean, none are really coming to mind at the moment. Who knows? Like I said, I think Dorsey does have a list, and I think the list starts with guys already in the NFL and with NFL experience.
Sure.
Another name I heard tossed around is Matt Campbell. That's the head coach of the
Iowa State.
He's from Maslin, Ohio.
Yep. As I say, you could bring in Josh McDaniels from Canton.
He's the predecessor.
If he wasn't leaving for Indianapolis, he's not gonna come here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, McDaniels is. Every time somebody offers him something, the Patriots give him a raise. That's Bill Belichick in waiting right there in New England, and McDaniels knows it. That's why he's not going anywhere. Speculation continues. Go Browns, everybody. Yeah. Todd Haley facing his old team this week, the Chiefs.
Well, he faced his old team last week.
Faced his old team last week, too.
And how'd that go?
Didn't go so well. So we'll see what happens with the Browns. Again, breaking news.
3-36-1 in his 40-game tenure. It's now over. I honestly want to celebrate.
Well, do whatever you need to do. Scream, whatever, real quick.
I mean,
cry, woo-hoo. Whatever you want to do. Lou and Hugh gone on the same weekend, Eric.
Within
hours.
Within
24 hours.
Less, a little more than that. Within about 25 hours. 24 hours and 20 minutes.
Yep, absolutely. Again, the Browns have fired head coach Hugh Jackson, according to Adam Schefter from ESPN on Twitter, and it's on all over Twitter and ESPN right now as well. We thought we were done with our podcast, but that broke in the last 5 minutes of our podcast, so we came back on to tell you about it. Hugh Jackson gone in Cleveland. No interim coach named as of yet, at least that we have seen, but the Browns making a change before the bye week. And we'll see how this turns out for him and see what happens the rest of the way.
Real quick, the last five Browns head coaches all fired after losses to Pittsburgh. That's Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shurmur, Rod Chudzinski, Mike Pettine, and now Hugh Jackson.
As some things change, some things don't. Obviously, the Browns, they feel, let's just fire our coach after the Steelers and move on. So that's a death wish for any coach for the Browns. If you lose to the Steelers and you're on the hot seat, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a pink slip on your desk the next day. So, unfortunately, Hugh Jackson.
Tying the Steelers won't do it. You got to beat them.
Yep. You got to beat them. So
that's all Hugh had.
That's all he had from being 3-37 in 40 games instead of 3-36-1.
But
get
anyway,
out of town,
we'll,
Hugh.
We'll talk more.
I'll
about
drive
it
him to the airport.
He's probably already there. The airport's not far from the stadium. So, but anyway, again, Hugh Jackson fired as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We'll have more on it throughout the day, and of course Wednesday night and Friday over the weekend. The Browns, when they name a interim head coach or acting head coach, whatever you want to call it, we'll have it on our Facebook, Twitter, that kind of thing.
Eric, it's really going to be one of two guys, yep. Todd Haley, Greg Williams. Yep.
And we'll see what happens. But again, Browns fire Hugh Jackson after an abysmal 2.5 years as head coach for the Cleveland Browns. That's going to do it this time for the podcast. Again, Joe Geckler, Adam Soweski, Eric McElroy, thanks for watching. We'll catch up with you Wednesday night for the Extra Point at 6 o'clock. Again, the West Holmes Knights in the house with us to talk playoff football. Again, we'll see you Wednesday night beginning at 6 on Facebook Live, WTUZ, Big Z Sports, and on 99.9 WTUZ.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.
Hey, Z Country. Jeff here at Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia, your power sports headquarters. Are you looking for a quality ATV that won't break the bank? Stop by our showroom and check out our new line of Kymco ATVs and side-by-side. Like the Kymco MXU 450i that features four-wheel drive with diff lock, fuel injection, and a 12-month factory warranty, all for under $5,000. Get off-road with Action Extreme Sports, your power sports headquarters located just off I-77 in New Philadelphia or at AESRacing.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at Big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.